Mr. So Guangli, Rule 8.
So?
Yeah,
the workshop. Yeah, in the workshop, you see, I have to go down in the afternoon, then ask them what we're doing. I write down in the sheet worksheet. You see, so what you're going to do and under what car. And then after that, I fill up the whole thing. I hand it over to him. You know, in Japanese, you see, in katakana, you see, I fill in everything on. Then under what name and car number, and just hand over to him. Then he's looked through and he says, all right. Then he said, then it's okay. Then my duty is to just see any telephone call, attend to telephone call. If he wants the chief, he may be working in the workshop, I'll call him, when call him.
So what were your working hours like for this?
Oh, we usually early morning, I'll be waiting at the Rumah Miskin police station corner. That's called Rumah Miskin corner. There will be a Balestier Road corner, and then the bus will be coming out from Katong. You know, there's a they call it bit nice, yeah, from Katong, then come down to the Lavender Street side. They come up from Lavender Street, then they fetch me up exactly the corner of Balestier Road and Serangoon Road. So they pick me up from there at the big bus, you know. This bus will collect all the workers from Katong down, then fetch me up, then I'll from there we go up to Norfolk Road. Then Norfolk Road, we go up again to Cambridge. They call it the New Cemetery Road. Before they call it New Cemetery Road. New Cemetery Road, then we go up to Cavanagh Road. After Cavanagh Road, then we come down from Cavanagh Road. Then you turn left again. We go up to Orchard Road. Then Orchard Road. Then turn right straight to our office. The circus, before there's a circus, there in front of Governor's House, there's a circus, you know.
So from what time to what time do you have to work?
From 7, I have to wait down there 6:30 for the bus. Then the bus will keep on fetching up people until up to 7:30 before we reach the office about 8 o'clock. Then our office hours were off at about 5 o'clock. Then they will send us back again.
This transport was provided by the Japanese?
But the driver is a local people. It's a bus.
Do you have to pay for it?
No, free. We have, every morning we have to carry our own lunch. With a lunch, with together with a box, lunch box, and then we wait until the bus comes. They don't wait for you, you know. If you miss the bus, you got to walk all the way to the office. You got to go very early, 6:30.
What about other people who are not staying in Katong area or your area? How would they go?
They make in such a way that you see they fetch up people within their area, see. Because the driver is staying at Katong. So they pick up from there onwards, you see, slowly. One bus full actually. And some of them they don't take bus, they don't take our bus. They don't take their own bus, they come by bicycle.
Was that the only bus that they provided?
Yes, yeah, this only bus.
No other bus?
No bus. They were supplied by the office.
How much were you paid?
No, not much, I think. I think already about $100, I think so.
On a monthly basis?
On a monthly basis.
Did you have any kind of increment during that time?
No. 8 months, I think, is not much. During the time after that, the British, you know, we understand that the Americans are start bombing the place. The B-29 flew over our place. We are just in the drain there. We look up, very small, looks very small.
How how would you get your pay every month?
Every end of the month they pay you.
From
the Japanese, Mr. Suzuki himself. He distribute or then you come and just collect. And they deduct, they deduct your tapioca and sweet potatoes money also from there. Straight away there, you take your money, they pay, you better pay the other end again.
Was your pay sufficient?
Yeah.
It could help you with your daily...
Yeah, it's something like they give you something more than you think of, you see, that you get sweet potatoes or tapioca, you can't get it outside for 2 cents a caddy. They're just giving you just a formality, say that $2, all in $2 or all in $5. The 25 caddies only $5 maybe, or maybe sometimes they charge you more.
If they didn't give you any extra rations like sweet potatoes and rice, would your pay be sufficient to cover?
No, I don't think it can cover. We only depend on their rice, sweet potatoes and tapioca rations.
You mentioned that you were issued with the armband. Could you describe to us how it was?
Oh, the armband is one with the anchor and one and two wings on top of the anchor. The blue anchor and the two wings. The number is 5646, I think. And with the card, which is a card with a red card and my photograph there. And written in Japanese my name. And I don't know the date, Japanese date.
Did you have to wear the armband and the card every time?
No need. We had report to the Japanese, we don't have to. Unless you want to go to naval base, then you have to use the armband and the bring your card to produce to the guard room. You go into the naval base, there's a guard room there. Then you have to produce your identity card, they call it the card, identification card. And they see your armband, then your armband must correspond with your card. Then they can let you go in.
So in normal circumstances, when you reported back to work,
no need.
You don't need.
That is not very. I mean, not important to them. Eh? If it's naval base, yes, we have to use it.
Why would you all want to go to naval base?
Because the naval base is our head office there, see, and this is a workshop. Sometimes you have to go to naval base to collect some spare parts and all that.
Were there any other occasions that you would have to go to the naval base?
No, seldom.
When you went to the naval base, it's only just for collecting spare parts?
Yeah, collecting spare parts maybe, and sometimes we can't get any more spare parts and get it machined out there, see?
While working here, did you have to wear any kind of uniform?
No uniform, we only just use a civilian form. Civilian outfit.
When you reached the workshop, how did you report that you're present? Was there any kind of guard, Japanese guard outside?
No guard. We were just like a ordinary workshop, like we just go in, walk in and out. It's like normal. Normal.
Any Japanese security guards?
No, nothing.
Unlike the one at
naval base, different. That is very tight, security. They know that we only repair cars, lorries and all, nothing else. Only when you want to go back, there's a jaga there who search your pocket, whether you steal any spare parts out. That's all. Every evening you want to go off, the gate will close and you got to go through. The Bengali jaga will, search your pocket. You see, they just go through your pocket, whether you carry any spare parts out. That's all. You come in, go out, it's all right. But you watch out. You want to go home, you watch out.
How many workers were there all together in this workshop?
It's around about 80 to 100 workers.
The local people?
Local, all local.
What were their background like?
All right. Some of them Malays, some Indians. You see, the storekeeper is a Malay. Tire storekeeper, not. The tire storekeeper some Malay and this spare parts. Two of them are Chinese. Motor spare parts are Chinese, and the electrician are the Chinese one also. Then comes the cushion maker is Chinese also. That painter also Chinese. The Indians are the tire. They change tires every now and then. There's an Indian chap who used to change tires. They have different section. If the car wants to change tires, then we push it over to the Indian people to go and do it.
What about their educational background?
Normal is the same, I think. I think all of them, they don't go to school, or some of them go to school. So.
Any female workers in this workshop?
No.
You mentioned that there were people in charge of stalls, in charge of buyers, what were their nature of work like?
The nature of work is to supply goods, spare parts to those fitters. They will come with the damaged spare parts, and they go to the counter there, and the storekeeper will just look at the spare part. They go in and search for the spare parts and replace it, a new one, and get them signed. In the end of the day, he will hand over the spare parts, the damaged spare parts, or to Mr. Suzuki to see, so they can get another replacement.
Besides those handling spare parts and tires, were there any mechanics or technicians from the local people?
All of them are local people.
I mean, these local people, were there any mechanics who were actually repairing the cars and the lorries?
Our local people do the repairing for them. No Japanese, only the chief is Mr. Suzuki, and that's all. And there's another one more, another club draftsman. He's a draftsman. He keep on drawing. I don't know what he's drawing, but anyhow, his name is Mr. Morris, I think. Yes, he's a draftsman behind.
So the local people were the one doing the repairing work.
Yes.
As well as the clerical
work. The whole, all of them, all Chinese, Malays. Yes, a few, and Indians a few.
How was relationship like among colleagues?
It's all right. It's okay. Everything is all right.
You mentioned that altogether there were only two Japanese personnel there.
Yeah, one is Mr. Suzuki, and the other one is assistant, and the rest are local people.
Both of them belong to the Navy.
Yeah, naval base.
Were they Navy people, or were they
civilians? They always wear uniform. Both of them use uniform every day.
Their rank? What about their rank?
Yeah, the rank is a blue flag. One is a blue flag, the other one is not a blue flag. The other one is only a sergeant, maybe.
Were they there every day to supervise
the work? Yes, supervise the work. And they are very good. They are very good people. They never lose their temper and start shouting at people, no.
What were their duties there?
To supervise the work. You see, if the officer's car comes in, he will report to Mr. Suzuki, say, this one wrong, this car needs repair. So he writes down everything in Japanese. Then he leave the car to him. Then he will call the driver. Any driver, standby driver, will drive the car in to the workshop inside. Then detail will be given by himself to do.
What about the other Japanese?
The other Japanese is only to stand by. If he's not around, he'll be there.
If all of them were around, what would he do?
No, usually one will be out, the other will be in. Both of them won't be in. Early morning, they both will be, talking something else. After that, one will go out to the workshop, the other one will be standing by in the office. Then the other one will go off and he will come back in.
So what would they do in the workshop?
He will just supervise the fitters, tell them what to do. This needs repair, so many things. Then you go from one end to the other end. By the time it comes back, it's about 11:30 to 12 o'clock.
Then what would the other Japanese be doing in the office?
He will be attending to those like telephone calls and all this. Eh?
How was the relationship like between these Japanese and the workers and their attitude?
Oh, it's alright. It's okay. Very good. They don't think of anything else except what they think is to give a good job, and that's all.
Did you know where were they staying at that time?
No, I don't.
So there were no Japanese technicians or mechanics to help the local people. Among the local people, were there any people who were chosen to be supervisors of their sections?
Yes, they have the head of department, the electrical department. That one is a very old man. That one, one of them is a Chinese also. The other one is a Malay also. Two of them. One is the motor generator side. The other one is a motor car, you know, motor car generator as well as the starters, they call it. The other one is the bigger motors, the electricity motors, you know, house, industrial motors. That one is Chinese one. Then the Malay is in charge of the car one, car electrical system. So another one part is the workshop. There's a foreman. The foreman formerly, he's also from second carriage, he's a foreman, Mr. Yap. He also from second carriage, he's a foreman, and he works in the workshop as a foreman too. He's in charge of the whole thing. The Japanese will tell Mr. Yap, say, these are the things to give to them, and he also supervise. And the main thing is that Mr. Yap to chase these people off, to do the work in time. That's all.
How many departments were there altogether?
Yeah, I think one is store department, stores, supplying stores, spare parts. Then one more is supplying tire, batteries, another department. Then electric trigger department, repairing motors and repairing industrial motors. Motors is a different thing entirely. So there's two sides. One in one department, but two divided into two, you see? Two sections. One is the industrial motor and one is the motor car motors, you see. And then upstairs there's another store. The store they don't open it unless downstairs the chief will go up there and open and we can get in, that's all.
The foreman, which department
is in charge of the workshop behind. He will control the fitters, the painters, and the cushion maker.
So for each department, there was one local person in charge?
Yes, yes, yes.
What were they called?
Yes, the same like the foreman, like they call him foreman. And the other fellow, the Malay man, is a storekeeper, they call him a storekeeper.
So one department, only one?
One. And then one storekeeper and one assistant storekeeper. And there's only one Malay man in charge of tire and batteries, there's one. And then the other end, the workshop, is only he himself in charge of the whole workshop. He worked with the second carriage, then after that, the Japanese came in, he worked under the Japanese also. The second carriage also, the office is also in carriage. He report work as a foreman.
Were these foremen were they of the same ranking?
No. We are under civilian. Under civilian, no army, no navy. They don't classify them as a rank. They give him the same pay as what we are paid. Local personnel.
As foremen, did they get more pay than
the army? Yes. They get more. Very high.
And the pay and each one of them,
and they get cigarette rations, you know.
The pay for each one of them, was it the same?
No, more. Maybe 3 or 4 times higher than the rest.
For each 4 men, was their salary the same?
No, no. The workshop for men, he gets 4 times the amount of what the fitter gets. If a fitter gets about $15 or $20, he gets about $80.
Was the salary of the workshop foreman the same as the storekeeper, or the same as the...
Yeah. The storekeeper is different, cheaper. It's lower a bit. Usually, they collect around about $300 to $400 per month. The storekeeper is around about $300 to $400. And I think the foreman, I think around about $700-$800.
What about the person in charge of the electrical department?
It's around about $300 to $400.
Why was there a difference in the rate?
Because the task of work is more taxing, I think.
Did the foreman of the workshop had to be of a certain qualification before the Japanese took him?
Oh yes, he's a qualified man. He's a qualified man. From Saiken College formerly, and the Japanese came in, then he went back to work as a foreman. So he was a qualified foreman from the old Saiken College. Then the Japanese came in, then he worked under the Japanese naval base, they call it naval base workshop. But actually it's a Saiken College workshop, same. After the war, after the British comes in again, he worked the same place again until he retires. I met him the other day and he said, I retired.
What about the storekeeper and the other people in charge of the other departments? Mm-hmm. What kind of qualifications did they have to have?
I think they are from before, they are with the Saiken College. The storekeepers are with Saiken College before. Before the Japanese comes in, they work inside there. So they know all the stores in there, see? So they took back all these people back.
Did they have to have higher qualifications than their workers?
Same. They are related to the psychiatric people.
Only because of that, not because
No, of nothing. This man, I noticed it because why? He was related with the psychiatric owners. Mm. So he worked in as a storekeeper there.
The Japanese took over the second
the place. Carriage. Yeah. Yeah, the second carriage, the Japanese took over the second carriage workshop as a naval-based workshop. Naval-based motor workshop. Right?
How many workers were there in each department?
You see the storekeeper, there were one storekeeper and one assistant. Then the other one is a tire workshop, there's only one himself. Another two Indians, which is a standby doing the tires, replacing of tires. Then the electrical one is around about 5 of them, two apprentices and 3 fully qualified electrician. Then about go behind there, around about 20 to 30 of them, I think. 20 to 30 of them, all these fitters and cushion maker as well as painter. They have about 5 of them. Then the fitters around about 30 to 40 fitters. So in our office here, we got about Mr. Suzuki and the one draftsman, myself, another one more office boy. And now one Japanese, about 5 in the office, a small office.
What about the store and the supply for tires and batteries? How many in that?
There only were one Malay scorekeeper and two Indian men do the replacing of tires.
What about the spare parts?
Spare parts, he himself only attend to it.
The Malay?
Malay fella.
Their pay was better than the workers. What about the working conditions of these foremen?
You know, it's just the same. He has to supply goods, and if we don't have any, he will tell the Japanese, then you got to get in the spares in. You know?
They were in charge of the local workers. Who did they have to report to? Who were their boss?
The boss actually, you see, Mr. Yap is the man. He's got a small office on behind the workshop there. You see, he will see that every car come in, sent in by Mr. Suzuki, and he will take orders from Mr. Suzuki. Then Mr. Suzuki will tell him what to do, and then this man, the foreman, will attend to it and get the fitter who are really accustomed to repair that car, he'll fix it up. But Mr. Suzuki will come and see to it also, this must be done, that must be done, and that's all, you see. Sometimes, you know, the foreman also has no say about it, because he always comes in and see whether you get it done or not.
So Mr. Suzuki would give instructions to every head of the department?
Yeah, head of department first. Later, he come in and supervise and see whether it...
How was the relationship like between the workers and this local foreman? For example, did the local foreman help to the workers in areas like settling disputes or...?
They know nothing much about dispute because they always do the thing properly. I think there's nothing much about it because I think they are afraid of Japanese maybe. I think they are afraid of it.
Who were?
No, all these workers. They're really afraid of it.
So how did they work with their foreman?
It's alright. It's okay. Very good. They work nicely. Not like now, you see, got all unions and all this, eh? They can report to their unions, eh? Down there got no union at that time, got no union. What the ill treaty, we have to take it also.
For example, if the Japanese find fault with one of the worker, would the foreman help his worker?
They dare not. They dare not help. The Japanese don't find fault because the Japanese will tell him what to do and you get it done and that is all. His order is like you get it done and forget it. If you don't, then tell him what is the thing out, spot or anything like that. You see, you got to get it, explain to them. They understand it. They are more better trained officer than the army. The navy people are more trained, are more steady than the army one. If compared to the army, is nowhere. Yeah, the army is nowhere to them. They are got full education and they understand well.
So how did these Japanese treat the local foreman?
Oh, it's alright, very good. They are very good friends, so they talk to each other and all this.
You were working in the office, so who was your immediate boss?
Hey, Mr. Suzuki himself.
Mm-hmm. How was your relationship with him like?
He's alright. He usually don't talk much. He just come in, he say good morning, and then he just say alright, you just do your work. Everyone do his work. The one thing is good. He don't bother you. You need to answer telephone sometimes. Sometimes telephone ring, you answer the telephone, and you say wait, call him. We are just partly as what we call receptionist also. We have to answer the phone call and call him. Sometimes he must be upstairs. Sometimes he's maybe at the workshop. We gotta look for him.
What about the other Japanese?
The other Japanese, sometimes he's down there, sometimes he's not there. Sometimes if he's there, he'll answer the call.
How was the relationship like with him?
It's alright. It's okay. We work very nicely, actually. Only thing, the pay is very low and we have to take it, eh? Because of the rations that we go for it.
What about the draftsman? Who was he?
Draftsman, he's drawing. Like say, if they want to plan something else, the Japanese will tell him to do, to draw something else. She design something and ask him to do it.
Was he a Chinese?
Oh, he's an Indian.
How was the discipline in the workshop like under this?
Oh, usually it's okay. No problem at all. To them, you know, sometimes they really do real work and they finish the work, they can sit down, no, they don't bother. As long as you finish your...